Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Seth Rollins turns heel on TV. Corey Graves plays heel in real life. And AEW celebrates Le Champion. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, Canada's premier wrestling radio program on TSN 1150 Hamilton, News Talk 1290 London, and now broadcasting in the homeland of Kenny Omega and Le Champion, Chris Jericho. We welcome our newest affiliate, TSN 1290 Winnipeg. My name is Jason Agnew, joined in studio this week by my good friend and road tripping partner, Mark Andrada. Mark, people want to know, is there a conspiracy theory for this week's show?
Yes. Okay, hear me out. The Corey Graves tweet was a work. The whole thing, top to bottom. He saw what Jim Cornette did. Mm-hmm. He put out a controversial tweet. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll talk about it in my podcast. Exact same thing. The whole thing was a work to drive Corey Graves' numbers up on his podcast. I didn't even know he had a podcast.
Okay, but Mauro was clearly not in on it.
Yeah, neither was Ethiopia.
Right. Okay, so also on the program, Dave Meltzer will join us to chat about the Mauro and Corey Graves situation, not a work, which he found himself caught up in, plus a hair-raising edition of Turnbuckle Trivia and your feedback. First things first, though, we're going to take a break and come back with the week in wrestling news.
We got to play We Are the World somewhere here today.
No, we're not.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Mark Andrada and Jason Agnew here in studio with you, and let's kick into the week in wrestling news. It's not like it was that busy, but there was one issue that definitely rose to the top, and the top story, of course, is Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo. As you all know, Corey tweeted during last week's takeover, and it was something to the effect of that Mauro talks too much and Nigel and Beth can't get in a word edgewise on the show. Now, this served as a trigger for Mauro Ranallo, who then showed up the next day at Survivor Series and promptly walked out. As you all know, Mauro has a history of mental health issues. Corey did not take down the tweet, and then also engaged in a Twitter exchange with many individuals, including Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. Well, Corey finally apologized on his podcast after the bell, and here's what he had to say.
On a personal note, I need to address something. This past Saturday, during the TakeOver War Games event, I sent out a tweet. It was an unpopular opinion, as I often do, with the intention of just stirring up a little controversy, maybe have something fun to talk about on TV or here on the show. It was maybe not the most professional way to go about things, and it was never meant to offend or disrespect or disparage anybody. That was never my intention. If it was taken as such, I apologize deeply. That was not my intention. I would never intentionally cause anybody any undue stress, especially a coworker. So I apologize.
That clip is courtesy of After the Bell. You can find it on Endeavor Audio.
Nobody listen to it. Nobody download it.
So we're using it editorially here on the show as a news item, and I believe that means we're allowed to use it. But Mark,
also, he used the word fun. That guy doesn't know what a fun thing to talk about is.
Yeah, I suppose so. And using it in this context,
that's a fun thing to talk about. You don't know what fun is, dude.
If it was going to, like, I think he's backpedaling, and I think he absolutely said this full out serious when he did it, and now this is nothing more than a complete backpedal. I don't understand why the tweet wasn't taken down, even though the damage is already done, just as a symbolic gesture, because I haven't checked, and I don't want to look at Corey's Twitter, but I believe it's still there.
Well, I think the thing is that he was really, I really do believe he was trying to drive his podcast numbers. I didn't even know this guy had a podcast. How many people, raise your hands out there if you knew he had a podcast.
I don't feel as though people who listen to this podcast would listen to the kayfabe after the bell.
Nobody would listen to that. Listen, I have a hard enough time listening to him on Monday nights. Why on earth would I download a thing to listen to his annoying voice more?
The thing is, I used to enjoy Corey Graves.
Likewise, absolutely.
And he has, I feel as though, when the character gets too big, he becomes a parody of what he used to be.
You use the word parody. Am I allowed to say douchebag on the radio?
You can do that.
That's the word I would use.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Corey is very contrived. Everything he does is very contrived. And if you do so with another willing party, I think that's okay.
Sure.
Or if even if it wasn't a willing party and it's something that you know that that person can handle, I'd even go with that. Like, if I were to tweet something out about you, I'm pretty sure you would get what I was doing.
Yeah.
But, we know what Mauro is about. Speaking from this, listen, I'm not the guys at Post Wrestling. I haven't had that much contact with Mauro, but I have worked with him.
Yeah.
He was a part of the Fight Network. I did cross paths with him. He did some stuff at Byte Television. I don't know if it's unfair to say difficult, but for the people around him in the work environment, it can be extremely challenging, shall we say that,
sure,
to work with Mauro. But if you have him under your umbrella and you are employing him and you're a coworker of his, you kind of got to know that. And this is just unfair on Corey's part.
Also, sometimes a difficult person, that's the price you pay for brilliance.
He can be very, very good. Again, I think that he's become a bit of a parody of himself as well. I think he's a bit much sometimes.
I think that's part of it, though. Some of those pop culture references to me,
yeah,
that are
well,
too
you like
much.
Them, huh?
But I like them in a way that's like, yeah, that's too much, Mauro.
Okay,
you know what I mean. But I enjoy it. I find them funny.
It's very Mauro, and
yes,
he's known for it. Now.
That's his whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and he is. See, he's a bigger version of. He's already big when he does MMA. And he's even a bigger version of himself when he does wrestling. And I do think that as a commentary, he's a love it or hate it type of guy. Like, either you love what he does or you hate what he does.
I don't know anybody who hates it.
In
real life. I mean, you see right, people tweeting all kinds of whatever.
Well,
people tweet whatever they want.
That is definitely the case, as Corey did here. And then, you know, just I'm wondering how the podcast does. I'd be very curious to know, because this podcast will be for him above anything else.
Oh, absolutely. Because now people know that he has one.
Yeah. So what do you think happens here? I mean, I heard that he was supposed to be paired with Mauro on the Survivor Series broadcast. And, of course, that didn't happen. I'm wondering how long Mauro is going to be out for now.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope he's doing all right. I mean, it can't be a nice time, you know?
We'll talk to Dave Meltzer later in the show because there's also, Meltzer's been talking about on his show is the fact that Corey's not necessarily looked upon as in the wrong for this.
Right.
Backstage at WWE. We've had people on the board say, on our message board, say that, you know what, Mauro should just suck it up and be able to take this.
Right. Well, you know what, then Corey should probably also just be able to suck it up and get back in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, they're both injuries, right?
Right.
Or they're both conditions.
Yep.
Huh, that makes sense.
So jump back in there. I'd love to see you wrestle again.
Let's continue on. We'll pick up on that a little bit later in the show as well. What's happening this week, Mark?
Well, here's what you're going to get on Raw. Seth Rollins will apologize, so many apologies these days, for his speech last week.
I think he should apologize to viewers for being on television.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine? So sorry I'm on your TV.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I'm on your Twitter feed, etc.
Good grief. You know what would be funny is if he just apologized exactly word for word what Corey Graves did on his podcast.
That would be very funny and inside if they scripted that out and he had to remember it.
Yeah. I'd watch it.
That's too intelligent for WWE.
Yeah, don't give him too much credit, I guess. Charlotte will also have a handicap match versus Asuka and Kairi Sane. That
you know,
makes
now
sense.
That I think about it, though, that would actually work perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mean what I said. I was trying to have fun. He comes out and he does that exact speech.
Yeah.
That'd be so inside and great for people who watch like we do.
Yeah.
That's the double level that WWE should be existing on, and what AEW does very well.
And used to exist on. They used to do stuff like that all the time.
They do not anymore.
They do not.
Dumb it down.
On NXT, we have Damian Priest versus Killian Dane.
You're not interested in that.
No?
No, I'm not. Neither one of those characters is doing it for me.
Yeah,
but
okay.
AEW, I mean, has more matches booked than either of the shows that you just mentioned.
Yeah, Pentagon versus Chris Daniels, Phoenix versus Trent Barretta, The Young Bucks and Dustin versus Sammy Guevara, Santana and Ortiz. And then we have Mox versus Janela.
We'll see how hardcore that one gets. And we'll see what costumes Pentagon and Chris Daniels decide to wear this week. Because apparently Chris Daniels just likes to play Mr. Dress-Up every time he's on TV. But more about that later. In brief, we got a few items here. Not a big week in wrestling news. We just want to focus on a couple of the big ones. But Pro Wrestling Sheet reported on Tuesday that Lana signed a new multi-year deal with WWE. Lana then tweeted out in character, "I just signed a multi-million dollar deal with at WWE. Congrats!" Honestly, I'm curious if that is her confirming or that is her playing up in character, and therefore, I don't know if there's an actual confirmation of a contract
yet.
Yeah,
no idea what's going on.
Because to me, if you're a couple, do you not negotiate with your husband in order to make sure that you're both signing at the same time? Because right now, doesn't this absolutely screw Rusev if he hasn't signed a deal?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea if the whole thing, if she was just joking.
I'm guessing it was. Again, we'll see if Meltz knows any more about that, because I think it was a joke.
Let's talk trademarks. There's a bit of controversy lately with AEW nabbing the trademarks for Bash at the Beach and using it to promote events surrounding the Chris Jericho cruise in January, but Cody also filed for Super Brawl and Slamboree trademarks. WWE jumped into the trademark game this week by filing for some old ECW names, including Cyber Slam and Barely Legal. No word on what they're planning on doing with those.
Could you imagine promoting something called Barely Legal right now?
Like, or Cyber Slam?
Cyber Slam. How 90s
is
that?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, neither one of those, unless they're using it for some sort of video collection. I guess that could work. Something on the WWE Network, but
Cyber Slam could almost be retro at this point.
We're
an inch away from that.
If they came up with some sort of gimmick, I mean, they tried the whole, what was it? It was Cyber Sunday or Taboo Tuesday?
Taboo Tuesday, yeah.
Which were the voting aspects, and WWE quickly learned that this is, I think, part of where the mentality of fans don't know what they want comes from, because they did those pay-per-views, and fans would vote for things they thought they wanted to see, and once they got in the ring, everything fell apart, because you'd have maybe two heels in there, two baby faces in there, and like the feuds weren't built properly. So I think a lot of "we know better than you" may have come from those experiments.
Yeah, but maybe the fans just wanted to see that matchup, but didn't realize that they needed a storyline. So maybe they should have taken that as a suggestion. Go, "Oh, you want to see these two people together? Great, we'll write a storyline for those two people, and in the meantime, we'll give you this worked version of it." You know what I mean?
Yep. Keeping with trademarks, Luke Harper filed for use of the name Brody Lee. Now, that is, of course, the name he used before his time in WWE, and I would guess will be the name he uses very soon again.
Ooh, very exciting. Despite being teased on being the Elite last week, Marty Scurll is not done with Ring of Honor yet. Ring of Honor announced the main event for their December 13th pay-per-view is going to be Villain Enterprises, which is Scurll and Flip Gordon, versus Bandido and Flamita. The pay-per-view is called Final Battle. I wonder how appropriate that title is going to be for Skrull.
Skrull has got to be moving on. I'm very surprised he's doing this, but it's a way... Listen, if this is very much Skrull's final thing, which we don't necessarily know, it's him working in good faith. Despite people blowing up bridges in wrestling, it is always good to leave a former employer. You never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And with Skrull and AEW, listen, we saw another debut on AEW TV this week, which we'll talk about.
Oh,
I know. But you don't need more debuts right now. You only have 2 hours of TV, plus dark. Take a break.
Yeah.
Wait on something big down the line for Skrull. And if that's the case, then have him keep doing stuff in ROH. That's fine.
Yeah, but how long can that deal be? Like, if he signs a new deal, how long?
No. I'd say, you know, appearance-to-appearance contract type
right.
of deal, which
gotcha.
I think is what he might be doing. But we don't necessarily know, because his old deal should be done by now. In NWA Power News, they have a pay-per-view coming up in a couple weeks. It's happening on December 15th. That's a Saturday night. It's going to be the same weekend that WWE is presenting TLC. The main event, Nick Aldis versus James Storm. So, it's basically Impact. And that's kind of funny because as NWA is about to present an Impact main event, Impact spent this week parodying NWA with the IPWF. We'll talk about that mistake. I will call it a mistake.
Wow,
in
bold.
Hour two of the show. Not that bold. It's Impact.
Yeah,
it's going to be
enough,
a mistake.
Bold, yeah. Lance Storm has officially closed down Storm Wrestling Academy and starts this week as a producer with the WWE. For more on this, check the latest edition of Talk is Jericho, because Chris sits down with Lance to chat about his time running the school. In case you're unaware, graduates of the school included Tyler Breeze, Tennille Dashwood, Brian Pillman Jr., Taya Valkyrie, and Rey Mysterio's son, Dominic Mysterio Jr.
Yes, is that what he's going to be called? Dominic Mysterio Jr. Jr.?
Isn't that... No, not two juniors.
Just
his last name is... Yeah.
His last name is Jr.
Mysterio Jr.
Okay.
Typhonated.
It's very interesting. Think about this, though, Mark. So Lance Storm, who I have a great amount of respect for, he's always been wonderful with us at Live Audio Wrestling, and he's been on this show a couple times. He's a delight to talk to. I always say Lance is like his haircut. He's just the straight and narrow, no nonsense. I remember going out to dinner with him once, and him ordering was great because he's a super fit and naturally fit guy. And he just looked at the waiter, and he's like, okay, so I see your chicken breast. Can you take that chicken breast and put another chicken breast on top of that chicken breast? That's what I'll have. Also, the potatoes, is there anything on them? He's like, well, you can have them with butter. No, I don't want that. How about the beans? You can have them with butter. No, I don't want that. Okay, great. That was his order. Like, no nonsense, yeah. Lance Storm.
Potatoes and beans, no butter.
Ridiculous. Like,
chicken breast on chicken.
He is just a super fit, straightforward, honest guy. I have a huge amount of respect for him. There aren't that many people like that in the industry. But my point here is he's going to WWE, but he's buddies with Jericho. So his big kind of farewell to Storm Wrestling is on Chris Jericho's podcast, who is, of course, the champion of AEW.
Yeah.
What a way to start things off.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
It is very, very funny.
Interesting, anyway.
All right, let's get in a bit of UFC news here before we move along, and that is Conor McGregor. If you're following the soap opera, he's back. The next match is booked for UFC 246 on January 18th versus Donald Cerrone. Along with that, John Jones, he has his next fight booked. It is versus the undefeated Dominic Reyes at UFC 247 on February the 8th. And Khabib Nurmagomedov as well versus Tony Ferguson. That one is set for April 18th. Now, keep in mind, this is a while away, and this is the fifth time this fight has been scheduled, and it's fallen apart for various reasons four times before this. So we'll see if it actually happens. We are going to take a break right now. We are going to come back, and we'll dive into a SmackDown to start things off, a hair-pulling experience.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Pretty bad, huh? We'll do that when we come back. It's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. They'll say, Brandy, you're a fine
girl. What a good wife you would be. I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Blackie, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
My goodness, punishing and torturing Brian. And the Fiend dragging Brian into the depths of hell.
Taking Daniel Bryan's hair out? What the hell is going on?
Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. That is what you may have been watching on Friday night, or maybe PVR'd it, or maybe not watched it at all. I tell you, Mark, after last weekend, I want to talk about SmackDown here, but first of all, I forgot that I wanted to talk about this, and that is the absolute burnout I felt on Monday. You and I were together on Monday,
yeah.
And I remember when we were finishing our workday, and you said, enjoy Raw, and I said, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't watch TakeOver followed by Survivor Series, and then you expect me to watch Raw on Monday night. I couldn't do it. I had to wait till the middle of the week to get to it.
I just want to say to the listeners that Jason was in a very good mood, and he was saying goodnight, and he was going to go home and make dinner. We were both excited to go home to our evenings, and I said, enjoy Raw, and his face sunk. And you're like, I can't. I just can't.
It was just too much. I mean, you know, of course, we have an extra few hours doing these things. This is the most enjoyment I get out of wrestling now is listening to other podcasts and doing this podcast. Not necessarily the actual viewing of the wrestling, because it's so rare that I look forward to something. I did look forward to see what Jericho was going to do this week on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We'll get to that next segment, though. But as far as watching Raw, and in particular SmackDown, it's Friday night and you've got SmackDown on. I don't watch it live. And then I tune in. And the thing is, you were actually excited about SmackDown. You texted me when you found out, because along with that, we work in the world of comedy, and you actually got, you love the Muppets and you love puppets. And there was supposed to be a new one debuted.
Yeah.
Which you didn't get.
Which I didn't get. But I guess, so what was the new face? I guess the new face was the belt.
I guess that's what they said. It was the new face. I'm deducting out of that because I haven't actually heard them state that, but I guess the new debut is the belt. But I have another theory.
Okay.
Let's talk about the belt first, though. Then we'll come back to my theory of what will be coming. They debut a belt, another belt. Yeah. This belt for The Fiend is also on sale for $6,499.99.
They really missed an opportunity on that, I think.
66666.
Yep. They could have sold it for a bunch of sixes, and that would have been at least on brand.
I bet they would have, because he's not the demon. Kane is the demon. And I bet they would have got criticism for some devil number or something like that.
Yeah, so.
If they did it.
They're going to get credit. They're going to be upset about that, but they're going to put The Fiend on television week after week. That's the line that's too far.
I bet that they would have gotten criticism for it.
They're already getting criticism about The Fiend being too scary, right?
They're getting, they did get some of that. They're getting criticism with me with The Fiend just jumping the shark this week. I mean, I like the Firefly Funhouse. So did you, but I don't need to see it four times on a broadcast.
Maybe the new puppet is a shark. And The Fiend just jumps over it for the next segment over and over again, doing the Muscle Man dance.
Here's my theory. That would actually be very funny.
Yeah.
Once again, the dual level of wrestling. They should have actually done something like that. That would be very fun. But what I think it may be next week, there is a puppet made from the hair of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you might be right. That might make perfect sense. What did you say it would be? The dragon puppet.
I said the dragon because, you know, he was the American dragon, right? So Dragon Daniel.
Yeah.
Dragon Daniel.
Yep.
And it's made from the hair of Daniel Bryan. And it can be like a voodoo doll if they really want to go in depth here.
Oh, yeah. Bring back Papa Shango. Bring back Papa Shango.
People love Papa Shango.
How's that for a tag team?
It was too much for me, though. With Firefly Funhouse, something that I used to look forward to, was it not a bit much this week?
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it coming on that many times.
Oof.
I like the segments. I don't. The thing about it is that, I mean, I've said this a million times on the show. I feel like they've lost the plot on The Fiend. They've lost the plot on Bray.
Theory, right?
Yeah, the thing that he was kind of like the Joker.
Yeah.
And now that he's this supernatural, comes up out of the ring, and I'm not on board.
Can we also put a pause on anyone coming out from under the ring?
Yeah, it's too much
right now. We saw it twice this week. And I'm granted, they're different companies. This one was actually less stupid than the other one, because I despise what happened in AEW. But talking about this one.
The butcher and the baker,
the candlestick maker. Yeah. but The Fiend coming out from under the ring, like, why? Just why are we still using that?
I don't know. We did it once with Undertaker, and it was just so good. You know what I mean? We just got to come back to it.
It just happens far too often.
Yeah.
And why are we going back to this match? And why isn't it Daniel Bryan that wants this match more, as opposed to The Fiend saying, come out and play again? Why wouldn't Bryan want to avenge the fact and somehow find a way to overcome the Fiend, the monster that no one else can overcome? Isn't that the way this is supposed to work?
I guess. I mean, I don't mind Bray calling him out and asking him to come and play again like a cat calling a mouse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to toy with you.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. My problem is the character that The Fiend has become. That is my problem. And I can't get past that. I want to get past it so bad, because I really liked the direction they were going in. And now I have a hard time looking at it.
Where does it go, I think, is the question that I have. Like, someone eventually has to beat The Fiend. And right now you've seen the same methodology used for the curb stomp being ineffective and Daniel Bryan at the knees, all that being ineffective. So someone eventually has to be effective. Someone has to find a solution to The Fiend. Does it have to be someone else becoming an undead weird character and going toe-to-toe mythologically with The Fiend? Because that's a terrible... Everything I'm saying is terrible,
everything
by the way.
Everything you're saying is terrible.
Awful.
Yeah. But does it end up being Roman Reigns? Like, does it end up... Is the one thing that stops the big bad the Superman punch? Like, is that what stops him? You know what I mean?
Awful.
I know.
Beyond awful.
You want to make a bet right now?
No.
You want to make
I
a bet?
I do not want to make that
I
bet.
Because I think I'm right.
You might be.
WrestleMania,
and is,
buddy.
I do not want to see that.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt holds onto that belt until Mania.
I do see him holding on to it for a long time because I just don't see someone, if they're building Bray up so strong, like I've asked myself, is it Lesnar? Are you putting that much stock in Lesnar to destroy the Fiend? But I mean,
if
Bray
he does,
is,
it should be a squash. I want him to squash the Fiend.
Like
the way
he
did Kofi Kingston. No.
Yeah, just everyone Lesnar's goes through. But I mean, how much time is left for Lesnar as well? There is, I don't see that new star. I mean, as far as I see so much potential in passing the torch for Lesnar, and maybe I'm just caught up in Matt Riddle and what I want Matt Riddle to do, and I want him to be Goldberg, and then I want him to go on, and I want him to be Brock Lesnar as well, and I want to see Matt Riddle excel. But because that's different, because that is a former UFC guy, because Riddle has that background, going through and getting rid of Lesnar, and Lesnar is the old UFC guy. So there's like a passing of the torch there. Mm-hmm. With this, see, what I saw before was, yeah, Wyatt beating Undertaker, and I guess taking that weird supernatural torch, but honestly, I don't want to see any more supernatural, and I don't see a new character with any sort of star attached to it.
I just feel like it's just, if you're going to do a supernatural character, there's a way to do it, and it just feels so forced. Like, this feels forced. Like, there could have been an organic way to get around to a supernatural character. But it this is a guy that wasn't that, and it feels like they're shoving it in.
Yeah.
And I'm not into it. Also, as far as the belt goes, selling the belt, I think they would have had more luck selling that lantern that was designed by the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
That lantern, I think, would have sold. I don't know if this belt is... I would be interested in buying that lantern. I'm not interested in buying the belt.
Yeah, the belt, the price point on the belt is just insane. I mean, it's $6,499.99.
There's lots of rich weirdos, man.
There are, and we'll see. I'm very curious to see if they start popping up, you know, like in the crowd.
Could you imagine?
I could see it. Brock Lesnar guy at ringside. There you go. Those people that just travel around and airfare and tickets to wherever WWE goes, they got another $6,500 to toss away.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we will dive into what happened on Wednesday night. The Wednesday Night War, the champion, Le Champion celebration, and yeah, the debut of the Butcher, Baker, Candlestick Maker, and all of that happened. The up and the down of AEW this week. We'll get back to it when we return. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
The Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy!
This is Chris Jericho's Thanksgiving thank you celebration for the champion. And I don't need you idiots messing it up for me. Because tonight I finally get my thank you, not from people in Chicago that don't matter, but from the AEW executive team and all the brass at the TNT Network.
Well, it was Thanksgiving week for all of our friends in the U.S. And I think for the first Thanksgiving, and I don't know how long, Mark, we did not get a food fight on any wrestling show.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That didn't even occur to me.
Yep, that didn't happen this year. I mean, there was no Thursday night show.
You're right.
But if it's Thanksgiving, like you figure WWE would have found a way to be complete idiots.
Do you think we get it on Monday?
I think that maybe they've let it go and it's passed. What we did get is AEW's the Le Champion celebration. And you know,
Celebration
of Le Champion. when I watched this, I was entertained.
Yeah.
Then I made notes about it and came to the conclusion that I didn't really like it.
Oh, really?
Just looking at what happened in it, for instance, so the first thing we see is Virgil, is Soul Train
okay,
Jones.
Yeah. No, Soul Train Jones, okay. Please. You know my theory on Soul Train Jones. Did I tell you this already?
We've spent so much time together. I don't know. Okay, let's throw out your theory here for people.
So my theory on Soul Train Jones is that because Virgil was naming him Virgil and making him sort of carry the bags of the Million Dollar Man was a rib on Dusty Rhodes,
correct,
whose real name was Virgil.
That's right.
And then when, I mean, this guy, his career has just been a rib on other people.
That's all it is.
Yeah, and then so when he went to WCW, obviously they named him Vince.
Yep.
Vincent. Throwing it right back at Vince McMahon. So correct, this guy has been going back and forth. So my theory on it, aside from the fact that, you know, WWE just owns Virgil, the name Virgil, giving him the name Soul Train Jones, number one, I think that's a better name for him anyway. Virgil is such a, like, really?
He'll always be Virgil.
No, he should be Soul Train Jones. My theory is that it's Cody Rhodes scrubbing that out. So he doesn't want his father's memory to be that of a rib on this guy's career. So now he's Soul Train Jones. And frankly, I like it. I like seeing him as Soul Train Jones.
Okay. And I loved him in the vignette they did. Mm-hmm. The lines were excellent. And what this appearance of Soul Train Jones proved is that those lines were scripted and done over and over and over again. He should have been an accent to this show, this presentation, and not the opening focal point.
I know.
Get him a cue card, too. Why does he have a white piece of paper in his hand, and he can't read the paper, and he couldn't deliver the goat line that he already delivered?
Yeah.
This was so bad. Why are you smiling?
I liked it.
It was terrible.
The only thing I didn't like was him getting knocked around by SCU at the end.
He was given the million-dollar dream!
Yes, that is funny, but I'm not sure that I understand if Soul Train Jones is a babyface or a heel. Fair enough. But I don't necessarily. I didn't want to see SCU hit a legend that way. I think if anybody did that to him, maybe Jericho could have done it. Like if he flubbed a line and then Jericho just puts the million-dollar dream on him.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's a little tiny nitpicky thing that I felt about that segment.
Okay, let's keep. No, because I got more. No. I got more about that segment. You can't tell me that you like the goat. I mean, I like the idea of the goat, but we've already seen
the goat was
Hangman Page with the horse. That wasn't good. And we saw Cody's dog out there as well. And now I know dogs.
I'm sure Pharaoh was, I'm sure they felt terrible about it because obviously they love that dog.
That's right.
So
why bring the goat out with Swagger? Like the goat was so scared. We've already had a deal with the animal cruelty thing. Like you don't need this goat here.
Yeah.
If you had, okay, listen, I know that it was recently done with Roman Reigns and the dog on SmackDown, but you had all of those weird things outside the ring for this celebration. Mm-hmm. Why weren't they all just giant goats?
Yeah.
Like giant inflatable goats.
Or have somebody in a mascot outfit come out.
I know, but that's what I mean.
Like,
and I hate to say that, as long as it doesn't fall into the cliche of disrobing and attacking.
Yeah.
And it's just there to complement it.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I understand how they wanted Swagger to present the goat to the goat, but it was about as good as Virgil delivering that line. Sorry, Soul Train delivering that line. They both were misfires to me.
Yeah, the goat was a misfire. I felt bad for that goat. bad for that goat. A goat obviously looked uncomfortable.
Yep.
I was only comforted because you could see the handler of the goat right there.
Yes.
So at least I felt safe that the handler, like the goat's handler, was there. And it wasn't just Jake Hagar dragging this goat by the neck.
What was worse, how uncomfortable the goat was or how uncomfortable Ted Irvine was?
He wasn't. I mean, he was. Of course he's going to be a little bit stiff. I didn't mind
Why was
him.
There such an emphasis on it? And also, okay, I get using sports feuds, but it's not like the Blackhawks and Rangers are in the middle of a Stanley Cup battle. Also, I don't think that can happen anymore because they're both East Coast teams. But like, that's not even, it's not Montreal and Toronto. Like, it's a bit of rivalry, but it's not really well known in hockey circles that these two are a complete rivalry. It was so forced and kind of out of nowhere. It was cheap heat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it was cheap heat, but I think it was acknowledged cheap heat. So it does kind of like how Mick Foley would always say, it's nice to be here in, insert city here. And he would call it a cheap pop.
Yeah.
I felt like it was delivered in that same sort of tongue-in-cheek, like, I'm going to insult your sports team kind of way. It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you. The goat thing did, but Jericho's dad didn't. I thought it was kind of cute that he... Also, how long was he sitting in that box?
Oh, man, I don't know how they got him out. I don't know how they got him out
there.
Did they open
the doors to the arena and he was already in that box? How long was he in there?
I'm very curious about that. I'm curious if any of our listeners went. Like, Jake from Chicago, I'm wondering if he went. Justin Roberts gets the beatdown. No one choked him with a tie.
I know. A missed opportunity.
I thought so as well. That's just a mild thing, a mild missed opportunity.
But whoever choked him with a tie would need to go into an angle where they got fired.
Well.
We're making a meal of this, or having a snack, you know?
What about, you mentioned you didn't like SCU attacking Virgil. I didn't like SCU continually dressing up in costumes. We've already seen Christopher Daniels come down unnecessarily dressed as Pentagon. Why bother? And then this again, I'm like, why are you dressed up as the band? Just run down. There's no reason not to just run down here. Why do you need to be dressed as the band? It was silly to me.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's their thing. They like to dress up.
They do. And because if you remember back to when they were in Impact, they did used to dress up every week.
Yeah.
And do that gimmick.
Right.
I just see them right now. Listen, we know that they're probably eventually going to go back to being that opening gimmick. This is the worst town I've ever been to. And like, it's great to hype the crowd. But at the moment, they're positioned in something much higher than that. They're the tag team champions. Yeah. And Scorpio's going for the title. Why are they dressed up in stupid costumes?
I don't know. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it as much as you minded it.
So anyhow, that's what I meant by when I pick through this celebration, even though I know you like the gifts.
I like the gifts. I like the deep cut of using the slippers as weapons.
People didn't understand that.
People didn't get it because you know why? Because you people didn't get hit by your parents.
That's right.
That's the problem. And that's the problem with the world. Not enough children are getting hit by their parents.
Because you also being from a Filipino background, what's it called? What are those
chinelas.
Called? Chinelas. That's right. I've had Filipino friends and they're all sitting at the door. And so that was actually the weapons thing was a reference to parents hitting their children.
Oh, my mom could hit you. She could hit you with that from across the room. Bullseye.
All right. So, I mean, you liked it a lot more than I did. I didn't mind the length of it or anything like that. And I love Jericho. Don't get me wrong. I just thought that there was a whole bunch of misses in this. And it wasn't until I sat down and broke it down that I was just like, oh, there were a lot of misses here.
Well, maybe this is the time that people should say to you, stop thinking about it and just enjoy the show, Jason.
Some people do say that.
Just enjoy the show.
Cody wins a match. he's about to cut a promo. And everyone's waiting for this promo. And then we get the debut that we spoke of earlier of the Butcher and the Blade, known to the audience as who and what.
Yeah.
And then the Bunny.
And then the Bunny.
Okay. I'm sure you've all figured this out. It's Braxton Sutter, who is the husband of Allie Pepper Parks on the Indies. He's been on the show before. Andy Williams is the other guy. He's the lead singer of Every Time I Die. And then, for some reason, Allie's a bunny. Again, but a demon bunny.
Demon bunny.
Why? Why is she that? What, if she was going to be that, and that's fine, then why didn't she start as that? Or why didn't something happen to her? I know she got attacked, I think, by Kong.
Right.
Hear me out. Can you figure this out? And they come from under the ring, which I also hate. I also mentioned this earlier. This sucked. And they don't need a new team right now. I know I'm going on a rant. Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
Hear me out.
Yeah.
So, what this is they really, they being AEW, really likes Dark Order.
And
they need to replace Dark Order because I feel like Dark Order is getting better.
Oh, I do too. I like his vignettes.
Right. So part of what you need to do is get the heat off of them by making something that was as bad as they were when they first debuted. So what do? They go, we need a new Dark Order. We need people to boo something other than this. So here it is. Butcher, Baker, Candlestick Maker. I'll never remember Butcher and the Blade.
A Butcher and the Baker?
Yeah, in my head, I keep saying Butcher and Baker.
I agree. It's ingrained in all of us, I think.
So that's what it is. They are the new Dark Order.
If we shift over to number one, their look is actually okay. I don't mind their look, but
really?
I agree with you. The first thing, I like the mustache and the monocle and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, the monocle. You're right.
I thought that was a pretty cool look, but I just think that these are guys who need vignettes, and I do agree with you that the Dark Order has some pretty fun vignettes right now.
Because of the vignettes, yeah.
they needed that to start. So they're basically, I don't know if it's a retooling, but they're re-experiencing the Dark Order. They're going back. They're really trying to build them now. And essentially, they're casting them in They Live.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
There's a wrestling reference there.
Yep. I agree.
I think that this is kind of neat. I like what they're doing with Dark Order. I don't know where it's going to go. But there's two, with putting these guys in the mix, like, you don't need it. You also don't need it with Cody. That's not the right debut there. Why are they debuting against Cody?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Well, because Cody's very popular, so we're going to get them booed, right?
Well, it got them hooed is what it did, as in, who are you?
Got them hooed is amazing.
It got them hooed.
Yeah, there was a lot of silence, and the fact that they kept repeating, it's the Butcher and the Baker.
Butcher and the Blade.
It's Butcher and the Bunny. And the Bunny. It's like, and then JR, who?
Who?
Way to sell it, JR. And but I mean, he's right.
A lot of people had that same thought. And I guess, you know, that is kind of his role. I mean, I'm sure he obviously knows who they are. And they made that conscious decision for JR to play the, I don't know who this is.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about AEW is they need to make stars, obviously.
Yeah.
And they haven't figured it out. They have stars that were made already.
Sure.
They have stars, absolutely. But have they made any? Like, who have they made? MJF,
that's
maybe?
That's the name that I was going to give you right now.
MJF? But MJF was already happening on Being the Elite.
MJF was very new to everyone. MJF is someone that they signed early, and I think Sammy Guevara falls into this category as well.
He's
There's
on his way up, for sure.
They signed early. They had Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, this troupe as well. But the problem is, now that you've said they don't have anyone, and I've said those four names, that's all happening simultaneously. And that's hard to do on 1 2-hour show a week because that's your television. I know they have Dark, but if you're building them, you're building them on TV. And you got a lot of things going on simultaneously. So I don't think that there's a need for the Butcher and the Baker to show up.
No, I don't think so either. Especially when I imagine you'd have Marty Scurll coming down the pipe soon.
That's a similar look to me.
Yeah, so you just sort of hold off, right? You'd sort of hold off on debuting people so that it would feel like a thing when somebody new debuts. Yeah.
We mentioned MJF. MJF had a big moment on TV this week as well. He defeated Hangman and got the diamond ring, and then he does the face-to-face with DDP. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who say they don't like when legends come in and are disrespected, but honestly, to me, this is the right time. This was the right time for DDP to be disrespected and beat down now.
I agree.
Because it's MJF and because he's got Wardlow as his backup.
Mm-hmm.
And then down the line, like a while away at the end of the Cody thing, once Cody has already beat up MJF, he takes a diamond cutter. Not just DDP doing it himself, but ultimately when he has an advantage, DDP gets the diamond cutter. I don't know why this was a face-to-face. Now, granted, I'll give them a little bit of time here because it could happen this week when DDP is laid out.
Right. Yeah, I agree about the Legends thing. This is the right way to do it as opposed to the beginning of the show with Soul Train Jones, who I also consider a legend.
Okay. DDP is also, I think, much better as far as talking goes.
No, they're exactly on the same level. I'm watching Jason just
turn a different color. Anyhow, I think that, listen, I like this segment. And I think MJF is a star. I do think that he should have taken out DDP this week, or more so Wardlow. Wardlow actually should have.
Sure. It's fun to bug you, though.
Yep. Well, that's what you do. That's what you're here for. NXT, of course, ran up against AEW, as it does each and every week. And, you know, I look at these two shows and I try to, even though I can't run them side by side here in Canada, I try to figure out what I would be watching at the time. And I saw Josiah Williams come out to rap to start NXT and then bring out everyone to dance and party and expose the fact that you're in a room with 400 people and no more.
Hey, man.
And just thought, I would be so done with this if I could flip the channel right now.
This guy, he likes to have fun.
This sucked.
He likes to have fun.
This was garbage.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me, though. So going back to the beginning with Jericho and those inflatable people at ringside.
Sure.
That's what the Rosebuds needed to be, and that's what No Way Jose needs to come to the ring with.
Because they're larger than life?
Because they're so large, so it doesn't feel like you can have 10 of them, and it would feel big as opposed to just 15 people with this like pathetic party that you're bringing to ringside. That's what those guys should have.
Larger than life.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. That works.
You don't care about this.
I don't. I mean, I'm beyond. I wanted the big goats. If they were all big goats, then yeah, I get it. The only people, to go back to NXT, the only people that I thought looked like stars in NXT is when Undisputed Era came out and interrupted what was going on and said, this is basically saying, this is dumb. We're the stars. I thought that worked, but I thought it compromised the rest of their roster and made them look Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I mean, you're building around these four guys, right? Like you're pushing up these four guys.
You're also pushing up the other four guys on the other side, though, as well. When you got Dijakovic there, Keith Lee, out of everyone, gained the most. Maybe Rhea Ripley on the men's side,
yeah,
though.
Rhea
Keith
Ripley,
Lee
yeah.
gained the most out of Survivor Series weekend more than anyone else.
Yeah, and I'm so pleased about that because. Did you see his performance in PWG? He's unreal. This guy's been unreal for so long. He's been so good for so long. And for him to come into NXT, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I started to worry about him because I didn't feel like he was getting the quote-unquote push that I was hoping for.
He
you
also
know?
Had an injury as well.
That's true, yeah.
Yep, took him down a notch.
And it's kind of scary because, he's going to turn into another... I was afraid it was going to be like another Kenta situation.
Sure.
And so it's really nice to see him... in the position that he's in now and sort of getting what I think to be his due because I think he's great. I like him a lot.
I will say, though, you had, whether it be Rhea Ripley or Keith Lee, on Sunday night, they looked huge. They looked like giant stars.
Larger than life.
But then on Wednesday, that environment, it kills me watching. I really noticed the difference. Okay, I noticed the difference when they first did the Wednesday Night Wars and you saw AEW juxtaposed versus NXT at Full Sail. And then even more so, now I'm noticing how it compromises the performers themselves because there's such huge stars in the big building on Sunday. And then on Wednesday, I'm like, oh, you're back in ROH? Is that? Yeah. No, the seats would be empty if it was ROH.
Oh, burn. Ouch.
True.
You're not wrong.
Nope, not wrong.
I'm hoping they stay in Full Sail for a little while longer for selfish reasons.
You're going?
Because I'm going to Florida.
Okay.
So I was hoping to go and watch NXT.
Finn Balor faced Ciampa in the main. Mm-hmm. Cole interferes, but doesn't align himself with Balor. Do you think that this is headed towards a three-way match? And should it? Because we've just seen so many three-way matches at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't stop them from doing it.
True.
You know?
It feels to me like the right way to go.
And is it a three-way at... TLC. Is it a three-way ladder match?
Oh, are they going to integrate NXT?
I don't know, but it makes sense that they would, right? If they're trying to keep NXT sort of at the top of your mind and they're trying to put that out as a big show, then why shouldn't it, if Raw and SmackDown are on this pay-per-view, then why is NXT not on this pay-per-view? Because if NXT is not, then it's lesser than? So it should be same as, at least.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they have it on the pay-per-view? At least the title match, at the very least.
But you have NXT, so the plan is for Royal Rumble weekend, the takeover is not necessarily a takeover, it's a Worlds Collide, and it's NXT UK versus regular NXT, which to me screams out Baszler versus Ripley.
I think so.
And that's your main.
Yeah.
And that's crazy great. And really... That could be the time.
Yeah.
But that could be the time to flip.
Right.
Ripley, take that belt.
Yeah.
And then along with that, they proceed to their own pay-per-view in February as well.
Right.
So I don't know if they're integrated in TLC. I agree with you. I think that match should actually be on, because if they're going to do it now, it's already built.
Yeah.
Like, it's already in place.
Like, we're ready for it, right?
Yep.
Like, what else are they going to do until February?
Yeah, that's a long ways.
So.
That's very interesting, Mark.
Ladder match.
Alrighty, let's take a break and let's come back in our next hour. Of course, Dave Meltzer along with that Turnbuckle Trivia. And we'll get into, we got to dive into the Seth Rollins character at some point, right?
Oh, gosh.
We shall. We shall do it all in hour two. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.